if you want to put a label on it, put Holy Spirit. And we've been studying several weeks, and I wanted to get back to it tonight. And last week, the Lord really blessed it. John 16. Amen. All right. You got your Bible. John 16. And I want you to always bring a Bible. Don't take my word for nothing. Look it up in the book. Thus saith the Lord, not thus saith... I used to work with this guy, and he kept asking me questions about marriage and all this stuff. He didn't even go to church. And I was a young preacher. I didn't know any better. And I'd answer his questions. And finally, one day he came to work. He said, "My wife hates your guts." I said, "I ain't ever met your wife." He said, "I've been telling her what you said." He said, "I go home," and I said, Ron Roddy says. I said, "You go back and tell her, thus saith the Lord, not Ron Roddy." And I had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. About 3 months later, they called me over to the house one night and asked me to show them how to be saved. And I took the scriptures, and I said, "Now, ma'am, it doesn't matter what Ron Roddy says. I want to show you what the Bible says." Amen. So get your Bible. Get your Bible. Don't let anybody deceive you. John chapter 16, and look at verse 13 and 14 again. "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Now, we talked last week about the promises of the Holy Spirit. I reminded you. We know that the Holy Spirit convicts, he converts, he comforts, he separates, he produces righteousness in us. We all receive the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ, but not all have been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. And I told you how the Holy Spirit came on the Old Testament prophets. But not in the Old Testament prophets as He does now in the New Testament age. And we have received His Spirit. He doesn't just come on us and leave us, but He is in us. He lives in us. And at the new birth, He moved in that day and He regenerated us, and He gave us a new heart and a new mind, and He regenerated our spirit. And I told you we need to go farther than that, because Jesus told His disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He said, "Be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians 5:18, He said, "Be filled with the Holy Spirit." And so we talked about walking in the Spirit last week, and we talked about the promises of the Spirit of wisdom and direction, and how to walk and where to walk, and the promises of prayer and things like that. So tonight I want to go back to that, and I want you to turn, if you will, I want you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Get a little more detail tonight. Ezekiel chapter 36. And we're going to go on with this for several weeks. And last week we talked about how He leads us and He satisfies us and He empowers us. And tonight I want to show you these promises about two people who are filled with the Spirit. Ezekiel 36. Look at verse 27. Now, God gives promises all through the Bible. The problem is not with the promises. The problem, people never found them because they don't read it. And it's kind of like having somebody donate you some money up there at the bank, and you don't know it's there if you never go and check it out. Matter of fact, I went to the bank the other day, and I made a deposit. I told that little old girl, and by the way, have y'all noticed how to get younger at the bank? I mean, she looked like she was about 12 years old. Yeah. Yeah. I said, "Little girl, are you old enough to work here? Can I see your driver's license?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm old enough. What can I do for you?" I said, "Will you go back there and get all my money and bring it out here and just let me look at it?" You know what she said? She looked at me funny, then she said, "No, it ain't back there." I said, "Where is it? It comes up here every week. Where's my money?" She said, "We gave that away." They do. They give it away. But you know, a lot of people have the promises of God and they never get them because they never ask for them. Amen. And the reason they don't ask is because they don't know. They don't even know that they have the promises. Amen. So look at Ezekiel and verse 36 and verse 27. He said, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, he promises us that if we'll just allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with his power and his presence, that we can walk in his statutes. You know what that means? Live. You ever heard anybody say your walk is louder than your talk, or your talk's louder than your walk, or however that goes? We can, look, walk in the Spirit. That verse I've called out three times. Ezekiel 36. Look at verse 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, the walk means you're going to live in them. You'll walk in his statutes. That means what he's commanded, the word of God. You'll live in that. See, here's the problem. Most people, the ones that's been saved. Now, if you're not saved, it doesn't make any difference because you don't want to live right anyway. But if you are saved, you want to live right. But how are you going to know unless you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you? And how's he going to guide you unless you read his word? How's he going to guide you? So, I ask the Holy Spirit, fill me with your spirit, fill me with your presence, fill me with your power. And then when he does that, it's not such a struggle to walk and live right. Are y'all still with me? Y'all looking like that proverbial cow looking at the new gate. Listen, if the Word of God's in me and the Holy Spirit is empowering me, then it shouldn't be that hard for me to live. I'm going to say something you hadn't heard in a long time. Right. Live right. You remember you used to go to work at the cotton mill and some guy that used to drink liquor about a quarter a day, you know, you went over to him and said, let's go down here at Red's Grill tonight and get us a few. And he says, I can't do that. And you say, why? And he says, I'm trying to live right. I got saved. I'm trying to live right. And if he surrendered to the Holy Spirit, he could live right. You see, we give the old devil too much credit. And we walk around with the poor mouth and we say, well, you know, we're just all sinners saved by grace. I can't help myself. You can help yourself. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, him in you, guiding you by his word. I preached it Sunday. Jesus said that he'd set you free. Somebody said the other day, said, well, I can't quit drugs. I said, you don't want to quit drugs. You don't want to. Well, you know, once a drug addict, once a drunk, always drunk. I said, no, sir, you get born again, you're a child of God. You don't have to live like that anymore. He gives you the power through his spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Some of y'all personally could testify to that. I am not recovering anything. I'm a born again, regenerated child of God. Boy, you go with that recovering stuff, you're going to think, well, I'm never going to get over this. I got to live like this the rest of my life. No, sir. You get right, you get born again, you get filled with the Word of God, you get filled with the Spirit of God. And he says it right there. It's a gift. You can walk in his statutes. You can walk right. You say, well, ain't nobody perfect. He didn't say you'd be perfect. He didn't say you would never fall off the path, but hey, the true test is, what are you going to do after you fall off? Amen. Get back on. Amen. Now, the point being, the Holy Spirit has promised me that I can live a victorious Christian life. 1 John 5:4, and the second part of that verse says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I've got victory. Brother Billy, I'm not fighting for victory. I'm not working toward victory. I have the victory already. The day I got saved, Rick, I got the victory. Now, if I don't live in it, I don't walk in it, that's my fault. That's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's my fault. I gave into the flesh instead of following the Spirit. Amen? I've got the victory. I'm already a winner. I'm not waiting to find out if I'm going to heaven. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My name's already been written down. He's reserved a place for me, and I'm as good as in heaven right now. Because of him and what he did, I can be victorious. I don't have to walk around my head hung down and, oh, I just can't help myself. When I do sin, I confess it. Lord, I knew what I was doing. I shouldn't have done that. That's not me. That's the old me. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. Forgive me, cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ, and get up and get back on that path and walk in the faith. Amen? That's being filled with the Spirit. Now, people that's not filled with the Spirit, they'll fall down there and they'll get out of church and they'll go back on the bottle or the needle or whatever it is they or what however they live, you know. And you go to see them and they say, "Well, I used to be saved. I just couldn't hold on." Well, you wasn't supposed to be holding on. You're supposed to be surrendering to the Holy Spirit and let Him do the holding on to you. See, that's a promise. I don't have to be defeated. When I am defeated, it's because I chose to be that way. That's why it's sin. I chose it. Old Lucifer said, I will sit up there. I will be like the Most High God. When I get in it, it is a sin every time. Amen? And we all have, but that doesn't mean that you're defeated. Get back up, get in the Spirit. Now, Joel 2.28. Joel 2.28. Turn there. Joel 2.28. And I'll wait on you a second, but Deborah's got to leave it by 8:05. Come on, y'all got to listen faster or get you some of those little tabs to go on your Bible. So Rick got him some. Joel 2:28. Look at it. Now, here's some promises to people who are filled with the Spirit of God. When you get completely surrendered to God and you say, God, I want you to fill me with your Spirit, baptize me in your Spirit, surround me by your Spirit, immerse me in your Spirit to where I'm in the Spirit all the time, there's some promises. Joel 2:28. Look at verse 28. Everybody got it? Say amen when you get it. All right. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And he says, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now, here's a promise. Here's the promise. If you completely surrender the Holy Spirit, invite Him in, invite Him around, over, however you want to call it, baptism, field, whatever, God will communicate with you. God will communicate with you. Now, there was a time in the Old Testament, the only people that God communicated with were special people. The prophets. Amen? Certain ones, you know, the judges, the kings, the prophets, the priests, but not everybody. God didn't speak to everybody. He only spoke through certain ones. And now Jesus has died and He's broke down that middle wall of partition between us and God. So now God sends His Holy Spirit to planet Earth, and anybody that will receive His Spirit, God will speak to you. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you that He'll always speak out loud. He may. But it may be that still, quiet voice. It may be a movement of your heart or your mind. Have you ever been going somewhere and something just kept saying, no, this ain't where you need to be going. No. It might not be necessarily a bad place. It's just that maybe a week later or something, brother, somebody said, boy, did you see that wreck on I-95? And you say, no, when? And they tell you, man, if I'd have done what I wanted to do that day, I was headed to Florida. That's the Holy Spirit talking. But you don't recognize Him because nobody's told you. This is a promise. He will communicate to you and through you. Did you know everyone that's saved and receives, get filled with His Spirit, every one of them is a preacher. Yeah. Every one of you is a preacher. Yeah. And by the way, you're either a good preacher or a bad preacher. But you're all preachers. When you got saved, you became a preacher. And then when you get real close to God and you receive all He's got to give you, you become even a more of a preacher. Because after that, people are going to say, oh no, here she comes. I remember right after I first got saved and worked down there at the mill, you know. And boy, I'd started reading the Bible. I done got in my room by myself and said, God, pour out your spirit on me. I can't do this by myself. And I'd go to work, and when I'd walk into a room, they'd scatter like cockroaches when you turn on the light. I can hear them now. Oh, no, there come they. At first they called me deacon, then they called me preacher. And later on they called me things I can't repeat. But the point being, if you let Him, you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with His power and His presence, you will communicate with God, and you will communicate what He communicates to other people. Because Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And James says, salt water and fresh don't come out of the same fountain. And blessing and cursing doesn't come out of the same mouth. Amen? And so, listen to me. When you surrender completely to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to fill you, there'll be times you'll say things, and when you get through, everybody's standing there looking at you with their mouth gaping up, and you'll think, how did I know that? I didn't even know I knew that. That sounds like something my crazy preacher would say. How did I know? Billy, has that ever happened to you? And people are looking at you and they'll say, how'd you know that? And you say, I don't know. That's just what the Lord told me. You know, and you will. That's called prophesying. That's what that's called. It's not when your eyes roll back in your head and sweat rolls off, you know, and you go crazy. Prophesying, people understand what you're saying. And the Lord told you to say it, whether you knew it or not, He told you to say it. Amen? And so that takes holy boldness. So then you go to Acts chapter 4, and it says they were filled with the Spirit again. And it says they spake the word of God with great boldness. That's your sign right there. That's your sign right there. So that's a promise. It's a promise that God will communicate with and through anyone, any walk of life, not just a priest with a black gown on and his collar turned around backwards. He will communicate with anyone and through anyone who will allow the Holy Spirit to fill him and use him or her. Amen? Some of the best preaching I ever heard was from the pew, a woman getting filled with the Spirit, stand up and testifying. Amen? I remember Preacher Coley's wife used to preach. She'd stand up and she'd start crying. She'd say, Pastor, I know a woman ain't supposed to preach, but I just got to say something, Pastor. And she started off, and I'm talking about she straightened some women out for about 15 minutes. She wasn't calling no names, but everybody knew who she was talking about. You know, for about 15 minutes, that woman preached, buddy, just cried and preached. Amen? That's prophesying. That's being filled with the Spirit. She was obeying the Spirit. She was allowing Him to speak through her and to her. Amen? I got to hurry. We got to leave at 8:05 at the latest. Look at Luke 21, verse 15. Luke 21, verse 15. Now, the Lord promises us that we can live victorious through the Holy Spirit. We can communicated with by God, and through he will communicate through us by His Holy Spirit. And then I want you to look at 21. Look at Luke 21, 15. Say amen when you get there. Amen. I'm glad some of you made it. Amen. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now, boy, ain't that something? He said, I'm going to put some things in your mouth that all those people that talk bad about you won't be able to resist it. Amen. Amen. I found out a long time ago, the tongue is more powerful than a gun most of the time. Amen. I never could fight, but I could sure embarrass somebody. And so now here's the Holy Spirit. He's going to put wisdom, and He's going to put revelation, and He's going to put knowledge in you. And I'm not going to ask you to turn there, but James 1:5 says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So God, the Holy Ghost, when you ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Ghost, He'll give you wisdom and revelation, and you'll say things that will astound people, and they won't be able to do a thing about it. Or remember when I worked for Piedmont Distribution Center, I was a young preacher, and they didn't like me being a preacher. But anyway, my boss man came by one day. Well, actually a manager. They had 6 warehouses. I was working in number 3, and I was working way up in the racks. I was stacking stuff. And the guy come by and said, "Ron, we got a new account. We want you to handle it. Coming in tomorrow, 300 rail cars and then 300 trucks. Want you to be in charge of it." I said, "What is it?" He said, "What difference does that make?" I said, "What is it?" He says, "Coors beer." I said, "Don't want it." "Why? Why wouldn't you want that?" I said, "Because the Bible says there's a curse on it. The Bible says, cursed is every man that puts strong drink to his neighbor's lips. I've had enough curses from that stuff." He said, "Well, you ain't got to drink it. Sounds like you got some problems with it." I said, "Everybody I know that's ever had anything to do with it had problems." Amen. Amen. I didn't know I was going to say that, but I said it. Amen. And so he promises wisdom and revelation knowledge. And then Proverbs 3. Look at Proverbs 3. Back there in the Old Testament again. Proverbs 3. Look at verse 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." I've had recently, and in years past, I have had churches call me and want me to come and candidate. And had one several years ago up in Landrum, and had a big church, about 300 members. The parsonage was 4,000 square feet. I'm talking the parsonage. They let us stay in it that night. They went and I'm telling the truth. I didn't know. I thought if I lived here, I wouldn't know what to do. What do you do when I get lost trying to find a bathroom 4,000 square feet? I didn't tell them to, but they voted me in and was going to give me all this salary and stuff. And I told them, I said, you voted too quick. You voted too quick. I can't say that, yes, I mean, there is this thing about praying about stuff and seeking God's guidance. So I told them no. Well, it turned out later on, I found out that they couldn't keep a pastor. They'd get a good one, run him off, get a good one, run him off, get a good one, run him off. And the Lord's looking out for me. And by the way, he looks out for the ignorant and the foolish.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And I never had peace about it. And that's happened about, since I've been in this church, that's happened twice. And if I can't get peace about it, I figure that's the Holy Spirit saying, "Don't do that, Ron. Don't you do that, Ron. Don't do that." Now, I don't care how much money it pays. I don't care if they got TV cameras and everything else. If the Holy Spirit doesn't give me a yes, I ain't going nowhere. And by the way, he's the one that told me yes whenever I started this one. I didn't start this because somebody else told me yes. He told me yes. And so what you got to do, you got to be filled with the Spirit, and then he will direct your paths. You shouldn't do anything without praying about it. And by the way, my wife goes to the hairdresser. She said one of the hairdressers told her one day, said, "I've been looking at this new, I think it's Camaro, new car, brand new." And there's a guy works in there too, cutting hair. And she said, "I test drove it and I like it a lot. And I'm praying about getting it." And the guy over there next to her, I'm not going to call her name, some of y'all might know, called her name and said, "God ain't never told you no, has he?" "You'll get it." Amen. She wasn't walking in the spirit. She was walking in the flesh. She wanted a new car, whether she could pay for it or not. Amen. And so, look, if we'll get filled with the Spirit, He will direct our paths. John 16, real quick. Y'all ain't listening fast enough. John 16, Deborah said we got to go. John 16, look at verse 13. John, you'll never, Deborah, you'll never tell me what time. You'll never live that down. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Now, listen. He's going to give you direction. That's a promise. Most people get saved, they know nothing about the Holy Spirit, and then they go on and live. They go ahead and live their lives, their job, their profession, their family, their habits, their hobbies, everything, just like they did before they said they accepted Christ. But if you ask them, are you saved? Yeah, I got saved. Yeah, I got saved 2 years ago. But you look at them, you think, nothing's changed. You know why? They're not following the Spirit. If they are saved, He's talking to them. But they're definitely not filled with the Spirit. Because if you got filled with the Spirit, He's going to give you directions, and it's hard to go against Him. You won't sleep. You won't eat. I got to hurry. Look at Romans 8:1. Most of you already know it. Romans 8:1. I'm going fast, ain't I? Romans 8:1. Most of you already know it anyway. Romans 8:1. Look at it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now most people stop right there. They stop right there. That's where they stop. And that's where they stopped in their spiritual life too, by the way. They're saved, yet so is by fire. They're just barely going to get in. Just barely getting in. But look at the second part of that verse. Who walk not after the flesh. Now the legalist, he stops there. The legalist says, walks not after the flesh. In other words, you're going to have to look like this, and this is going to be your diet, and this is going to be the places you can go. You know what I'm talking about, the legalist. He says you got to do things just right in order to be saved. So the first person says, well, I'm saved, that's it. And then the legalist who goes to the next step says, well, you might be saved, but in order to stay saved, you got to do this too. But look at the rest of the verse. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After the Spirit. Now, don't turn there, but I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Listen to it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you don't want to walk in the flesh, like he says in the middle of that verse? Then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because when you're spiritual-minded, you're being led by the Holy Spirit. You've invited Him to take complete control. You're immersed in Him. You're surrounded by Him. He's in you. He's on you. He's every part of your life. And now you're trying to walk right, live right. That's called walking in the Spirit. And when you're doing that, it's a whole lot harder to get in the flesh. There's a lot of Christians that say, but they're not in the Spirit. And half the time, they're in the flesh. They're on their way to heaven. But they get mad at the drop of a hat. They're jealous. They're envious. They're backbiters. They're gossipers. All these things. Things you usually wouldn't see too much. They're not drunks. They're not adulterers. But it's sins of the heart and the tongue and things like that. And they think they're okay because they're not getting drunk anymore. And they're not doing drugs anymore. But they're not walking in the Spirit either. They're living a carnal Christian life. That's what they're doing. Now, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, now, we have received not the spirit of the world, that's walking in the flesh, but the Spirit which is of God, that's the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, that tells me if you're not walking in the Spirit, you don't even know the promises of God. Okay. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Do you see that? When you're walking in the Spirit, listen, and you're not walking in the flesh, you've asked the Lord to fill you with His Spirit and His power and His presence, and you're living that Christian life, and you're obeying the Spirit, and you're trying to be a spiritual person, the Bible says that you'll have a spiritual mind. You'll have a spiritual mind. And you know, when your mind is occupied with spiritual things, it's hard to be carnal.
Amen.
You have to fight spiritual mindedness to be carnal again. When I first got saved, I told you 1,000 times, it was 2 weeks before I realized I wasn't cussing, telling dirty jokes anymore. People at the mill told me that. I didn't even know it. But it's, and then to listen to somebody talk like that is hard now. It's hard. I'll never forget, I hadn't been saved long. I took my kids to Carowinds. I have been carnal on occasion. I took my kids to Carowinds, and we was on a roller coaster, and that thing was going uphill. And there's 2 teenage boys in that car in front of me and Suzanne, who was real little, and some of the ungodliest cussing and hollering. Boy, I hated it. And I used to talk like that. And I hated it. And I said, "Shut up!" He looked around at me and sneered and went on cussing. I said, "Shut up!" He turned around and looked at me and sneered. Finally, I grabbed him by the back of the hair and I pulled him back and said, "Shut up, I'm cussing!" I let him go. You know, he didn't cuss another time on that road. Billy, you can call that in the flesh if you want to, but I was thinking spiritual. Amen? Amen? Hey, and he wasn't big as I was, so I didn't have no problem with that. So, but you don't even think that way anymore. And then go to verse 14. He says, "For the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned or understood or figured out." You see, me and you talk about spiritual things out there in the public, on the job, down at the schoolhouse, or wherever you're at, and you get talking about spiritual things like this, and people look at you and they scratch their head and they say, "I ain't got a clue what you're talking about." Like before you got saved, you tried to read the Bible, and you say, "Man, this thing don't make no sense. It just don't make." And you went to church and the preacher would preach and he'd get all excited and everybody else get excited. And you're sitting there saying, "What's these people so excited about? You know, we need some drums in here. We need a bass guitar. You know, we need some Led Zeppelin or something." You know, they build a stairway to heaven and going to hell. But see, spiritual mindedness comes when the Spirit lives in you, has occupied you, taken over your mind. Then you can't help but be spiritually minded. And you have to fight it not to be spiritually minded. And you get around those kin folks that you're afraid of offending, and you fight off spiritual things that you want to say. You put a lock on your mouth because you're afraid you'll offend them. Go ahead and say it. They're not going to understand what you're talking about anyway. It's like talking to a dead man. He don't understand what you're talking about. I got to quit. That's the promise of walking in the Spirit. And one other. Deborah, have I got time for one more? Just one more. One more. Romans 8, real quick. Romans 8, 26, 27. Romans 8, 26, 27. We got the van cranked up already. Romans 8, 26, 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know..." What? "For we know..." Huh? "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We've got the promise of prayer when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And you don't know what to pray for, but he knows exactly what you ought to be praying for. And while you're praying, Lord, I need that new Corvette, he's praying, Lord, she needs a Corvair. Some of y'all don't even know what a Corvair is. While you're praying, Lord, I need a new Harley. He says he needs a moped. When you're praying, Lord, I need that new Ray so I can get a new boat. The Holy Ghost says he don't need a boat. Cut his pay. That's the truth. And a lot of times when you're praying for God to kill somebody, the Holy Ghost said, don't kill that young, and I'm working on him right now. I'm working on him right now. You see, we've got a promise of prayer. If we get filled with the Holy Spirit and surrounded by the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, he's in me, he's on me, he's all around me, I've got some great promises. Or you can be a carnal Christian and just get saved. Don't pay the Spirit any attention. That's the choice. You can have the victory, or you can keep getting down and up and 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 never be successful in the Christian life and still go to heaven. Or you can be a victorious Christian and invite him into your heart and your mind and your body and ask him to fill you with his power and his presence. And then when you witness, it'll do a whole lot better. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we got to go. I pray, Lord, you'd help us tonight. Lord, bless us. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your Holy Ghost.